Blog Talk Radio.
Grace. Peace. Joy. Faith. Love. Dr. V.
Good evening. This is Dr. V, and you are tuned in to Dr. V with Love. It is our close of the year, time together. We're seasoned love. That kind of love that will cause you to fall in love again by Christmas. That's what time it is. So our Season Love series, A Journey in the Spirit, or what we call for short, Love Road Trip. Welcome to Season Love Plan. Again, this is Dr. V. I'm your host. It's been Les Brown says it's been a palm-seizing pleasure to be with you all of these years, and to close the year out encouraging you to fall in love. We have a very special guest this evening. I've been pumping him up on Facebook, personage of Leon A. Walker. He's an author and a poet, a good friend of mine, and fabulous person. So I can hardly wait for you to hear what he has to say in our Love Road Trip class tonight, where we're going to find out about season love and we're going to end the year well. Welcome. Welcome. Might I say yes to the fact that this is Leon A. Walker on the line with us now?
Absolutely, Dr. V. How are you?
Oh, absolutely wonderful. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. All that kind of good stuff we start saying around about this time every year.
I am wishing you and all of your listeners a very, very Merry Christmas and a prosperous and peaceful New Year.
Yes, all of that. We receive it, too. Leon, you haven't been on with us this year, have you?
Actually, I was thinking about that yesterday when we were having our little chat, and I think it's been 2 years since I've been on. I think the first time I was on was 5 years ago. In 2010, my first book came out.
Yes, when your first book came out. And then I remember when your last book came out, I believe. I may have had you on, but that was like, I was still in Arizona. So that was 2012. I thought I had you on maybe in 2013, but maybe we talked about it and didn't make it work out. Anyway, we missed you. And we're so glad to have you back.
It's good hearing your voice, and I'm glad to be back on the show, so thank you.
Awesome, A. So you heard our voice, you heard his voice, and those of you who have been following me for 5 years now, you've heard it before, you remember? And so we're glad to have him back. We have just, invited him to be a part of our closing out of the year where we encourage you to fall in love again. And I have always loved Leon's words. And so when we get into the show in a minute, you're going to understand why. If this is your first time listening to us, or if you haven't heard him for a while, you'll understand why, okay? So stay tuned, stay tuned. You know what we always do unashamedly and unapologetically? We pray and we ask the Holy Spirit to just be the real host of the show tonight. Lead us and guide us into all truth. Help us to say something, you know, to encourage you in every way, that encouragement might start in your spirit and just, you know, take control of your whole body and bless you real good and cause that beautiful heart of yours to just flow with love, first to yourself, God, and to yourself and to others. And, you know, that's our purpose here on Dr. B with Love, and to get you to tap into the love that's in your heart that God has given you, and that love relationship you have with him, that love relationship you have with others, and just bless the world with that. So we know we can't do that without the help of the Holy Spirit, so let's pray now, okay?
Okay.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you, we praise you, we glorify your name, Father. We thank you for being so good to us and so merciful. We thank you, oh my goodness, you've given Leon and I at least a 5-year history, so we're still here to talk about it. You know, we're not getting any younger, but we're getting wiser, so thank you, Father, and I know that that is because of your leading and guiding, your creativity, your purpose for our lives, how you just flow through us and how you cause us to be a blessing to ourselves and many other people. Thank you for that. We ask that in this Season Love series and our love road trip and our journey in the spirit with you, Father, that you go there with us. Go deep with us, Father God. Teach us your deeper truth so that even Leon and I might come out, oh God, feeling empowered to love even the more, that our season relationships with our loved ones would go deeper and glorify you. We know that you and you alone can only do that for us, through us, and in spite of us. And so we thank you. We give you free reign. You take over the mic tonight and just flow through us, and we'll be careful to give your name the praise, the glory, and the honor. Someone listening tonight, Father, live or archived a few days from now, even a few years from now, whenever they listen, Father God, we know that because we allow you to take the lead, that they're going to be blessed. And so we thank you for them and their blessings in advance. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Glory to God. Okay, you know me. I haven't changed much. I don't script too much my shows because I really like, you know, the leading and the guiding of the Holy Spirit, and for what naturally to come forth, to come forward. So this is Dr. V with Love Unscripted. Okay. But I will say that I asked Leon, and I don't know why my email wanted to act a little funny with me today, but I asked him to pick out a couple of his selections that might, you know, really bless us tonight. And let's just start the show out with those selections. And so I'm going to ask him. It was hard for me, Leon. It's really hard because you got two of them, The Gift of Love, and you also have If Ever, that were just like neck and neck with me. So I would like to hear both of them, if that's okay with you, and let's talk about those a little bit when we open up for that part. But before we even get to that, because, you know, sometimes we get carried away in our dialogue together, so I want them to just be caught up with what you're doing and where you're doing it and how you're doing it and that kind of thing. Let's put the spotlight on your journey right now. What's going on with you?
Well, you know, I moved out to Southern California about a year ago. And,
oh, wow.
Yeah, I'm in Santa Clarita, which is about, probably 25 miles north of Los Angeles. So it's a good location. It's a nice, comfortable sort of suburban community. But it's close enough to the city that I can get in and see the Dodgers or go see a play or a concert or what have you. So it's a convenient location, and in the valley, so I got the mountains around, and it's a very peaceful environment for writing.
Awesome. we switched coasts. I was on the West Coast when we met, or at least in Tucson, and then I spent 7 months and I was down near not Sausalito, Tehachapi, Temecula, yeah, right at the end of Riverside. And for about 7 months, and then came back east. So we just switched coasts, huh?
That's right. I don't know the local geography that well. I'm learning my way around, but it's such a massive area. It takes a while.
Yeah.
But you're
in a beautiful area. I knew about Santa Clarita. It's really beautiful there. Yeah.
Oh yeah, there. I'm very happy here, and I have a sister who's been living here for years and years, and she's one of the reasons I came out here.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So I've got actually two sisters that live out here, so I've got family around, and that makes it nice.
Right. Well, I got lots of family all up and down there. My brother's in Riverside, and my younger brother that's just 2 years younger than I am, he's up northern in Fairfield. But all in, you've probably heard since you've been there, the Bakersfield area, Barstow, all up and down there. I have, you know, relatives every block or something. So those, my roots are out there.
That's fantastic. That's good. Well, I'm sure you'll be able to visit eventually. I'll be visiting.
Yeah, got to visit. Okay, so you've been doing some writing since you've been there?
I have. I've been working on a family sort of history. I guess you could say it's a family biography. And that's taken up a lot of my time. I actually ran into someone in an effort to try and get some of my work turned into a screenplay. I ran into a guy who got me involved in doing some acting. And pretty quickly I ended up landing a role on the upcoming miniseries American Crime Story, The People versus O.J. Simpson.
I am
married to O.J.'s sister in that series, and it will air on FX. It will air on FX starting on February 2nd. The People
you
versus O.J.
Go,
Simpson.
Leon! You went out there and took care of business. That's awesome.
You know what?
What?
When you take that first blind step, and I don't have to tell you this, Dr. V, you take that first blind step in faith, he will do the rest. And that's what happened.
Oh my God! Do you know how many people go to LA with the express purpose of doing what you just did? Seemed like effortlessly, but again, you were taking that step in Him, so He made a way for you. Oh my God! Well, I can't hardly wait to see you in that role and go, I know him. That's my buddy.
So when it gets closer, I'll send you an email to remind you.
Please do. So you've been writing, now you're acting, and you got three books under you. I mean, come on. God is loving
God
on
is
you.
God is great. I have no complaints whatsoever.
Okay. Wow. So what else have you discovered since you've been out there?
You know, just catching up with the family. I'm still trying to exercise and eat well and stay healthy and, you know, stay in that spiritual place. And that's a full day for me, along with my writing. And it's been a very, very fulfilling and enjoyable year. So hopefully 2016 will be more of the same.
Awesome. Well, you have three pieces and one from each of your books, and you know me, I love to read your stuff, so I may let you read one, but I love to read your stuff. So I'm going to start out with Tell Me You Love Me, right? And that comes from...
You're going to read that one?
I'm going to read that one from Work Wonders, okay?
Okay.
And then I may let you read something from Lifelines. How about that? The Lifeline one, let me see which one. Let's see. You can read The Gift of Love from Lifelines, and then I'll end it up by reading If Ever, because If Ever is so, I love If Ever. Okay. Here we go, and then we're going to talk about these, okay? We'll read them all, and then we'll just choose one to talk about. How about that? Okay, here we go.
That's fine.
And again, listen, audience, so you can catch up. We're talking about season love. And, you know, in this series, we've been talking to you about, you know, how you're going to take full responsibility for your love being seasoned, your love language, your love, you know, expressions, what you do, what you say, how you say it, when you say it. All of those things are going to take into account. And, you know, I'm really good at giving you things to say. Because, and when we end the broadcast, we'll talk about how that happens and how God helps us with that. Okay, so here we go. This is from Work Wonders, which is this your first book, right, Leon?
First book, yes.
The first book, Work Wonders, it was featured in the 2009, make sure I got the right clip here. It's the 2009 Autumn Equinox edition. Okay, is that right? So here's Work Wonders, and this is the selection that I have chosen. It says, "Tell me you love me." Perhaps never again shall I endure this vague odyssey. Fragile creatures are we, wandering green fields, unprepared for the inevitable summer torrents. Words are no symbol of sacred vows, sadly. Too often an ope of obtuse ritual in ruin, nor can a glamorous, glorious blooming heart secure eternity's faithfulness, passion, piety and pain, gifts and goblins of a love story. Oh, yes, I will love you only as best I can. And for this, I ask nothing. As nothing confirms the limits of love or the vast and mysterious landscape of life. Take my hand, be kind, and you need never tell me you love me. I love this. I hope I didn't mess it up.
No,
I get so caught up in it. You know what I'm saying? I could just, like, feel it. So, anyway, that is Tell Me You Love Me by A. Leon Walker. We're going to go to the next one. Now, you hold on to whatever you're thinking, all right, because we're going to come back and discuss it. He's going to read now The Gift of Love.
Okay, here we go. The Gift of Love. There will be no grand declaration, nor any emotional appeal for your consent. No negotiation will be undertaken. No compulsory vows anticipated or required. I will just simply love you, perhaps from a distance or only within this dream. I will watch you take life in flight, and the true gift of love shall be mine.
Wow. Don't you love that? Okay, I'm going to recover. Here we go. Here's the last one. That was from Lifelines. It was featured, he said Eternity, that particular one that we didn't read, is featured in the 2010 Autumn Equinox edition. That's called The Gift of Love from Lifelines, his second book. His next book, If Ever, If Ever was written in from Equinox, right? And here it is. Hope you enjoy it. If ever I loved, yours shall be the memory of it. In the distance, you call to the far reaches of my heart. I feel the thundering tremble of the waterfall as I stand in your blinding mist, marveling at the power of your beautiful torrent. That knowingly, I dare not come near. Take this heart, my princess. I am left with all that I require. My soul, touched by goddess. Never again despair to wonder if ever I loved. Shakespeare, oh my God, he wants to stand up out of his grave and go, "What you doing to me?" I love it. You know what I love about your writings?
What is
that? Your writings take me, particularly, I'll just put it on me, it takes me out of my normal environment, and just, you know, it takes me on a journey. It just does. It just, I'm going on an adventure, in Leon's words, and they just, you know, you paint the landscape, you give us the forest, you give us the trees, you give us the beauty, you give us the waterfall, the mist, the blinding mist, all of that stuff. How you do that?
Well, I'm glad you said that, and there's a bit of a story behind that, especially, you know, if there are any writers or aspiring writers out there, they know or they will eventually learn that one of the most important things about writing is saying something that will make an emotional impact on the reader or the listener. If you can elicit an emotional response, then the person will always remember. So it's important for me to let my emotions flow out onto the page with my words. It doesn't matter if I'm writing about something happy. It doesn't matter if I'm writing about something sad, or it can be love in this case. It's a true impression of, you know, what I felt in my heart. And when you get to the point where you can freely flow and let that information out as if you're telling it to someone who you trust with your life, you know, if you can trust your emotions to the world, then you'll be able to write something that is meaningful. Beyond that, obviously, I have a style that is more of a classic style. It's not necessarily rhythmic. There are some poems that I've written that are rhythmic, but most of my stuff is not like your traditional modern spoken word type poetry. It's much more of a classic style, and that's just my preference because I really like all types of poetry.
Right. Well, you do it well, my brother. You absolutely do. And whenever I read it, like I said, you take me on a journey, and I love where I'm going. So I expect these books to really, really, really take off, especially in the audience that love so much the way you write. If you want to get a sample of Leon A. Walker's writing, you can go to www.leon-a-walker.com, and that's going to take you to his website. And if you go on to sample some writings, you just click there and click on those and just enjoy yourself. But it's nothing like getting your own book and getting a book for someone that you really care about. So go shopping. It's not too late to get something, at least by the first of the year. I won't say by Christmas, but by the first of the year, you'll probably get something. And he has three. So you got three to choose from. You got Work Wonders, you got Lifelines, and you got Equinox. So, yeah. And if you go to my Facebook website, you'll see, because I took the liberty to do just a little promo on there of my interview tonight with Leon A. Walker. So it's on there, and if ever it's on there in front of a beautiful heart, you know, y'all know me, I'm a heart person, so there you go. And so with that having said, I'm just going to read one more time, if ever, so you can get it in your spirit and run by that book, okay? This one is in Equinox, and here it is, if ever. And I probably won't read it the same way, so don't be looking at that, but listen to this. If ever I loved, yours shall be the memory of it. In the distance, you call to the far reaches of my heart. I feel the thundering tremble of the waterfall as I stand in your blinding midst, marveling at the power of your beautiful torrent that knowingly I dare not come near. Take this heart, my princess. I am left with all that I require, my soul touched by goddess. Never again despair to wonder if ever I loved. .. Ah, that's powerful. Okay, so in our Season Love series, Leon, tonight I'm encouraging, you know, and this is the perfect time of the year, to get those that would take the challenge of falling in love again, to allow their speech to be seasoned with, the, as the scripture says, seasoned with salt. And not only the verbal, but even the written. I a couple of years ago when I first started Falling in Love by Christmas, I talked to my audience about writing love letters. Instead of going out and buying expensive gifts, just write a beautiful love letter and put it in a book or put it in a frame or put it in something special or add it to the gift. You know, say something that your heart so wants to say. Put it in writing. And now that we have so much technology, I mean, you can make a YouTube video, bless a widow, whatever, but however you want to express yourself, but use the power of your words. Colossians 4 and 6, the Bible says, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned, as it were, with salt, so that you may know how you should respond to each person. I'm going to get in, Leon, just a few minutes of the teach, and then we're going to come back out there and just allow you to just free flow in what you have written that might support what the Spirit and the Scriptures telling us how we should communicate with each other. The lesson here says consistency of life must be followed by consistency of speech. Paul is not speaking here of preaching the gospel, but general conversation. Believers' speech must always be with grace, as was Christ in Luke 4 and 22. There's no place for those things that characterize the unredeemed mouth, whether undergoing persecution, stress, difficulty, or injustice, whether with your spouse, your children, believers or unbelievers. In all circumstances, believers are to make gracious speech a habit. To speak with grace means to say what is spiritual, wholesome, fitting, kind, sensitive, purposeful, complimentary, gentle, trustful, loving, and thoughtful. Paul wrote in Ephesians 4 and 29, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, that it may give grace to those who hear. Leon, when I read your writings, whether, you know, on any of the ones that we read tonight, when I read those, not only do I hear the grace, I hear the gentleness, I hear the complimentary, I hear the purposeful, I hear loving, and I hear thoughtful words intentionally put together. And I can say to you, I could go on to say this much, it's healing to hear those kind of words. Even if somebody wrote them for somebody else, when you hear those words, it's kind of like, this is what I've always wanted my heart to hear from someone who said they loved me or someone who said they cared about me. You understand?
I consider that a very, very high compliment, Dr. V. And I tell you that because that is exactly my goal when I write often. I want to touch someone in a way that makes them say, this is the way I want to live, or this is the way I want to love, or this is the way I want to be. And I think your theme tonight reminds me of something that I have done out of habit probably for about the last 10 years, because I have a saying of my own, from grace comes grace, okay? So I have a little organizer that I carry around with me. It's got envelopes and stamps and my calendar and that sort of thing in it. But it's also got a couple of quotes, and it's got a copy of one of my books tucked down in it. But one of the quotes is from Martin Luther King, and one of the quotes is from Robert Frost. But they are the sorts of quotes that when something happens and I feel that I am being challenged or I'm being tested, I just look at those things, and I always have them with me, and I just read over it briefly, and it helps me back to that place of grace where I know I belong. So I always have some hopeful, thoughtful, loving, kind, encouraging, supportive words with me, always. some of them are mine, and some of them, you know, come from far more well-known men. But I always carry something comforting with me, and I think it's a good habit.
Mm-hmm. It is a good habit. I like that, Leon, that you say you have these words and you speak those words to yourself.
That's
and
right.
I think that sometimes we expect people to talk to us better than we talk to ourselves. I had a therapist one time, a nutritionist actually, to tell me, she said to me, Alice said to me, she said, Dr. V, be gentle with yourself. Be gentle with yourself. And I'm going like,
that's
wow. That's powerful. You know, and we are our own worst critics. Sometimes we call ourselves names that we should. Oh, that I'm so stupid, or I'm so this, or I'm so that, or I'm so. But we, when somebody else calls us that, and go, wait a minute, it's no different than what you've been saying to yourself. So
that's
be seasoned in our conversation, even with ourselves. Wow, that's powerful. Listen, we have someone listening in. I just want to acknowledge that they are listening in on the call. I'm so happy to have them with us. This looks like it is Reverend Sharon Brodus. Is that you? Okay. Maybe she has us on mute or what have you, but I want to acknowledge that she is on the line and thank God that she's listening and continue to listen if you'd like. I recognize that, your number. That's great. I want to read a couple other things, and then we're going to go back and kind of pull from what we have read so far from your writing.
Your writing.
The speaker says here, the speech of a new man must also be seasoned with salt. It is not only to be gracious, but also to have an effect. Salt can sting when rubbed into a wound, Proverbs 27:6. It also prevents corruption. Believer's speech should act as a purifying influence, rescuing conversation from the filth that so often engulfs us. Salt also adds flavor, and the speech of the new man should add charm and wit to the conversation. Oh, I love that. And I love that because I encourage couples and people, not only couples, but even relatives and friends, listen, allow people to have allow people to have a joyous time talking with you. In other words, let the wit come forth, let the laughter, let the charm, let touch each other's funny bone, as it were,
in
conversation. Mm-hmm. We can get into having mundane, let's talk about the weather, let's talk about the bills, let's talk about the kids, let's talk about, you know, and those things are, not that they're not important, but if that is the only content of your conversation, you know, then you probably, your significant other, your spouse or whatever might say, it's not exciting to talk to you, so I don't have much to say, you know, that kind of thing. And every once in a while, I think my husband, he has what I call that kind of different sense of humor. So I had to get used to it, you know, because there's a very serious side of me, and then there's a very funny, I mean, I love the, you know, card up side. But his sense of humor is always, to me, very challenging. It's kind of like, he'll say, well, how do you feel about that? I go, oh, I think it's great. Oh, you're just saying that. I'm going like, wait a minute, I really do think that's great. And so I have to challenge him. I go, let my words be okay with you, you know, even if it's funny or not. I'm really saying what I mean to say. And so we're learning how to communicate with each other. When he's being witty, and I don't think he's being witty, I think he's being sarcastic or something like that, or vice versa. So you do have to, you know, to kind of judge what kind of effect you're going to have when you open up your mouth. But I encourage, again, people to have some laughter, have some joy, have some wit, have some, you know, in your conversation. You know,
I totally agree. And I think that if you're lucky, you will get to the place where your partner, your spouse, your significant other is your best friend. And know, one, I have two dear friends on this earth. One is my only brother, and the other is a former colleague from work that I've known for a couple of decades. Those are my two best buddies on the planet, and we can talk and laugh about anything as if we are still teenagers, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And we certainly can discuss politics and religion and the money and the more serious topics as well, but what makes our friendship or our connection so special is all of the walls come down, all of the facades come down, and we can just laugh and be ourselves. And that's a very special thing when you have that with your significant other. And I think that certainly should be the goal.
Right. Yeah, it should be the goal. My goodness. The next segment here says, believers must also know how to respond to each person. They must know how to say the right thing at the right time. In Peter's words, they must be ready to make an offense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and with reverence. And the final thing says, the speech of a new man is vitally important. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. James 3:2. Unlike the ungodly who says, our lips are our own, who is Lord over us? Psalms 12:4. We as believers should echo the prayer of the psalmist in Psalms 141:3. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. And I wanted to, that's the end of that, the teaching I wanted to do on that night. But the last two points the writer was making here is that believers must know how to respond to each other. And whether a relationship is at the beginning, in the middle, or at the end, I think that because words have so much power, words have so much energy and carry us to certain frequencies and heights and lows and depths and whatever like that, you know, I'm learning that more and more, Leon, as the longer I live and the more I am committed to writing about right rewarding relationships and teaching and, you know, doing talk shows about it, I'm learning that I have to take full responsibility for my words. I can't take responsibility for how you perceive what I said, but my intention when I write, whether it's writing or speaking, my intention is to encourage, to bless, or to get my point across without being unduly harmful to you, or to take you, create an atmosphere with my words to where we can both dwell in at the same time. If that makes sense.
You want to be reasonably thoughtful and considerate of someone else's feelings. I think that words matter, so you have to be sensitive to the fact that, you know, what you say may elicit some sort of, you know, response, and if it's a sensitive matter, then, you know, try and tread as delicately as possible.
Right. I tell people all the time, because they hear me talk about love so much, go, oh, Dr. V, here you come with that love stuff. And you know, I said, you know what? I'm not saying that we act that you're not going to be in a situation sometime where the person is acting unseemly. I'm not saying that you should lay down and let people walk on you verbally, physically, or any otherwise. I'm saying you take full responsibility for the love language that you have, for the messages that comes out of your mouth, for how you create an atmosphere, just what I just said, for both of you. The Bible says, as much as depends on you, live peaceably one with another. And so that in a relationship that you're committed to or you're invested in that relationship, we want you to just be thoughtful before you speak or write or what have you. And with all the intensity and intentionality and integrity, you know, certainly release what's in your heart, but do so in such a manner that when you're finished speaking, you have exploded. You may have explained what happened, but you haven't exploded the relationship or tore the person apart. You know, it's what you did, not who you are, I guess, kind of, to make that short. So when we're talking about seasoned love, we're talking about creating an atmosphere verbally and even nonverbally to where both parties or everyone involved can feel safe, can feel honored, can feel respected, even if they're corrected. You know, because generally, when we have a difference of opinion in a love relationship, it is not so much who that person is; it is what they have done or what they have said, and we want that behavior to change, particularly, you know, that kind of thing. And or if we want, listen, I love the way you're loving me. Keep loving me like that. You know, being able to communicate that, you know, it's just as important as being able to communicate, listen, I can be in this space with you, but these are the kind of behaviors I can and cannot tolerate, that kind of thing. There's a way that we can communicate how we're feeling, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent, that when you're all said and done, that the person feel like they're still being valued, if that makes sense.
That makes total sense. And I think that it's important to maybe take your time where relationships are concerned. I think, and when I look back and explore my past, I've rushed into some things without giving it due consideration and found that this was not a path to compatibility for either of us, you know, and then you end up suffering through a time when you're not totally comfortable. And then, you know, investing time in something that wasn't meant to be. But I have a couple of basic, you know, philosophies that, you know, I go by where relationships or love is concerned. And one is, it's okay to be angry. It is not okay to be cruel. Okay? That's golden rule number one. Okay? And the other one is, for me, love is a gift, not an expectation. So if I love you, I'm going to love you with all your warts. Now, I'm going to take my time before I get to that point. I'm not going to buy into something that I think might be overwhelming. But when I go into a relationship and I commit to loving someone, I'm going to help them through. But I'm going to love them with all their faults because we have faults. And if you don't think you can do that, then maybe you don't belong in that relationship. That's just Leon A. Walker's philosophy.
I love it. And which prompted me, I said, we're going to do three, but, you know, it's all your fault. You're just such a great writer, right? I want them to hear how. I want them to hear how from Work Wonders, because I think it speaks to some things that we just said in terms of being intentional and taking your time and getting to know that person, but also understanding that when we love someone, yes, we're gonna love their strengths and their weaknesses. If it's seasoned love, if you take your time, if you pace yourself, if you're not like my mom said, if you're not giving out with tickets and wooden nickels or what have you like that, if you're not planning to bring increase into another person's life, if you're just playing a game, yes, these things you wouldn't want to take time to do. But if you are desiring to be in a right, rewarding relationship with someone and to grow that relationship and cause it and make it last and move toward a more seasoned love, then you may want to take the time to take responsibility for how you communicate and how you conversate in that relationship. I want to read how to you because it really blessed me.
I have a guy here. You want me to read it, or are you going to read it? Oh, you're going to read it. Okay, go ahead.
You know I love to read your stuff. Okay, I read it. How did she know that my eyes had fallen upon her, leaving me in longing, a seeming desperate eternity? How did she feel as I sprinkled rose petals in her path, leaving me imagining that she was lost in distraction? How did she simply smile when I offered first breathless words, leaving me perplexed, switching off the sparkle in her eyes? How did she wait as I paced the floor of my mind, leaving me sequestered as she orchestrated my suffering, pains beautiful? How did she decide to drag me into her love's lake, leaving me eternal benefactor of shelter within the warm cocoon of her soul? How? Boy, what was you thinking when you wrote that?
Nicely done. You wrote, you read that very well. What was I thinking?
Yes.
I suppose I was thinking about what it's like to, I guess, to woo a woman, you know, to see her and be attracted to her and do whatever it takes to make her notice you or pay attention to you. And, you know, hopefully it works out that, you know, she's she has some feelings for you as well. But it's just sort of my words describing how that process goes.
Right.
For a man, of course.
I guess the reason why it blesses me so is because, and this is from a black woman's perspective, right? We have significant evidence, we think, that a black man does not care as much sometime about what we know, how we feel, when we smile, how we wait, and how we decide things. That's just, you know, sometime. When we run across men who care about what we know, how we feel, when we smile, and certainly when they make us smile, and do it often, how we wait, and how we decide things. That man, he's in for some long-term season loving. I'm just saying.
Well, let me say this in response. Okay. One thing that I learned, and it hadn't been that long ago. It's probably been since I've been a mature adult. But the one thing that I have learned about women is, for a man, you should listen to everything she says. Listen very carefully to what she says. And it will tell you a lot about her, but she will also eventually understand and appreciate that you're paying attention to what she says and what she thinks and what she feels. Mm-hmm. And that has been something that has been very surprising to me, and I don't know how I learned this, but I do know that even very recently I was talking to a woman at a Christmas party, and she was, we both discovered that I had been in the Navy, and her ex-husband had been in the Navy, so she had traveled around some of the places that I had traveled to, and we had a conversation about that in a group of people. And then later on, you know, we went different directions. We all ended up in another cluster together. And someone says, well, have you met her? I said, yeah, I met her. We just talked. You know, her ex-husband was in the Navy, and we went here and here and here together. And she says, oh, my God, you were paying attention to what I said. She was actually shocked that not only did I remember what she said, but I repeated it, you know. And so women, they have a real appreciation for a man who pays attention to what they think and what they say and what they feel. And guys oftentimes are out in la-la land, and they just have learned,
really?
They haven't learned that lesson well.
Yeah, I really want them to take the class. I really did. Let me tell you though, honestly, got to give my husband some credit. He's a 24-year Marine, and so he's a little rough around the edges with that. But
he and I would have a lot to talk about.
Yes, you got to talk to him. And so, but he's also a chess player, Leon. And so, you know, he's so into chess. He wants to open up his own chess club one day. But he's so into chess, he plays it on his cell phone and wherever. He's into chess. So I'll say something, and then a couple of days later, he says, "Well, you know, you said such and such and such." I go, "Oh, I didn't know you were listening." He said, "Yeah, I heard you, but you were playing chess." He says, "No, I really listen when I'm playing chess." So that told me something. It's not part of hearing, and he does listen. It takes him a minute to process it, and so I think that that's where, you know, we have to be patient as women, because sometimes I guess that's one of the things that men need to do, process it.
You're kind of describing a different scenario. I mean, if I'm underneath the car changing the oil, or if I'm playing chess, or if I'm reading a book and you say something to me, well, it may take me a minute to process it. But if we're sitting together, you know, having a cup of coffee and having a conversation, I should be listening to everything you say.
You should be present, right?
Exactly, yeah. I should be 100% present. Yeah.
Awesome. Okay. Well, you know, I said we have about six more minutes, really, left in the show, and I want to tease our audience and encourage them to go out and buy one or all three of your books, Work Wonders, Lifelines, and Equinox. And I want them to do it this year. So I know that this is going to push them over the top and get them to make that decision. And when they do, they can go and purchase your book from www.leon-a-walker.com, right? That's your website. And just go do that. Bless. And let me tell you something. Don't take these poems lightly. They teach you a lot about season, love, communication, I'm convinced. And this last one, it's on page 191 of his book, Equinox. It's called With My Heart. I want to read it and bless you with it in the reading. And when I finish, we're going to cap this off and wish you a very merry, merry Christmas. We won't talk to you again until after Christmas, and we want to bless you into this holiday. And again, you got a few more days of Fall in Love Again. You get a hold of this book or go to Leon's website and just, you know, peruse that for a minute. It may give you a jump start till your books get there, okay? But go there to order his books, right? Here we go. It's called With My Heart. I said it with my desperate words. Anxiously, I wondered if you heard me, and if ever you might speak the words I longed to hear. Said it with my eyes, transfixed, I hope that you might see me, that I may be the one to bring the sparkle to your eyes. I said it with my kindness, hopeful that you might know that I need you, that, and that goodness is the most splendid art of man. I said it with my heart, hopeful that you might feel my consuming love and know that this is the first of many treasures I hope to sprinkle upon your splendid soul. Go get the book. Leon. That's why you're in Hollywood getting ready to make a movie. Your words have taken you there, my brother. That's awesome.
Well, I really appreciate you having me on the show and reading my work, and I wish you all the best in 2016 and beyond, and please stay in touch, and I'll let you know about American Crime Story, The People versus O.J. Simpson.
Yeah.
Coming out February 2nd.
It's coming out February 2nd?
Right.
of 2016?
Correct.
Wow, so you are, like, it's already done.
Yeah, it's a 10-week miniseries.
Oh, so that's like the first of the, oh, my goodness, and are you all the way through the series?
Yeah.
You're in every episode? Oh, my God. See, I'm going to have a Leon A. Walker party at the house that I watch together. Now, you know I'm scandalized, so if I watch every episode and all the reruns and 5 or 6 times of Scandal, you know I'm going to be off into this series. Okay, listen, thank you, Leon, for being our special guest once again. It's not going to be long before we have you back again because, you know, I just like having you on the show as often as I can, and you got so much to share and so much to offer. This there, we want you to get... again, listening audience, whether you listen live or archive, if you listen archive, get a pen, write this man's website down, www.leon-a-walker.com, and he has a wonderful website with all of his work. He also has some artwork there, some beautiful video and cards and some media stuff. It's just, he's done some excellent work over the years, and now he's acting, and now he's going to be O.J. Simpson's sister's husband, and he's going to do us all proud, and so you got to stay tuned for that. February the 16th, you said?
February 2nd.
February 2nd. Don't miss it. You know, you got something to look forward to as the beginning of the year. Lifelines, a confirmation of life. Equitas Chronicles from the Archives of Life. Work wonders, learn to live. Learn to live. Lifeline, the confirmation of being.
I would say Equinox would be a good one to start with.
I think so, too. It's got some good stuff in it. So start with Equinox. Get that copy and be blessed. Listen, we love you. Know that. We love you so much. And each of you have fall in love with God, yourself, and others by Christmas. Again, strengthen that. The Bible says strengthen those things that remain that are ready to die. And we want you to do that. Strengthen your love life. You know, take that love road trip. Go on an adventure with those people that you love and count every mile of the way as an opportunity for you to express your love verbally, non-verbally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, financially, however you want to do it, but make sure you do it. That's what life is all about. Living and loving, okay? All right, well, I throw a little work in there, too. This has been Dr. V with Love. You've been a very special guest. Thank you, Reverend Brodus, for being one of our live guests and listening. And thank you, Leon. Well, Leon Walker, now the author, the poet, and the actor. Are we, what's next? What else do you have to conquer?
Dr. V, and I love you, and I'll be in touch very soon.
Okay, sounds great. Good night, everyone.
Bye-bye.